Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And now you can leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify as well. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. Pat P, man, let's get to the show.
Let's get it.
First quarter. Unfortunately, this will be our last check-in with the Vikings, with Pat Peterson. Week 18, right? Week 18, final game of the season. Vikings hosting the Chicago Bears. The Vikings, entertaining ball game. They saved the best for last for all of us. Vikings win 31-17. Yo, Eric, do you remember what my prediction was?
You had them winning.
Yeah, you had them winning for sure. I can't remember the prediction.
I had them winning. I've been up and down, man, picking the Vikings. I went with the Vikings in the beginning of the season. They didn't win. I went against them. They won. Last game of the season, I picked the Vikings. The Vikings won, and they covered. Easily covered. I think the line was like 2.5 or something like that, Pat P. I know you're not aware of that, but I am. And you guys covered. Man, it's a lot to break down this entertaining ball game. But before we break down anything, we talking to our guy, Patrick Peterson. And I remember last week on the show, for you listeners and you viewers who missed last week's show, Pat P said, listen, I cannot finish the season without picking one off. And yep. I said, well, you know what? Dang it, Pat. Every time I say you're going to get a pick, you don't get a pick. So I ain't going to say you're going to get one. I'm going to just say you can get some tackles and maybe a PBU or two. And he, guess what? That boy manifested, spoke it in the universe, and it came to life. Pat, talk us through that pick six, man. Give us the breakdown, the play call, what you were seeing, what led to that interception returned for a touchdown.
It was in the man-to-man pressure because it was 4th and 1, so we kind of thought they was going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they threw the ball, I think, the last two of their 4th down tries. So at the same time, you still got to have, you know, be on high alert that they can possibly pass the ball.
Yep.
Knowing that they don't have anything to lose. They kind of want to catch you sleeping. So it was in a man-to-man defense, actually a one-hug defense to where if somebody guys block, they'll be able to add on to the pressure.
Yep.
Force the quarterback to get the ball out a little bit quicker. And defensive line did a great job of changing the line of scrimmage, you know, penetrating the line and getting to the quarterback to force him to make a bad throw. And ultimately in the back end, we had sticky coverage. That wasn't even my guy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came off. I saw you.
I was covering Bird. And once I heard the crowd kind of like going like and like kind of wild, mm-hmm. I looked back. And as soon as I looked back, he was just about to throw the ball. And I saw that ball, Mac, my eyes got so big. I said, yes, here we go. I was like the guy of UFC, like, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I was like, here we go. Here's my opportunity. The gettable ball I've been looking for all year. I got it. And I kind of knew if I caught it, I knew I would have action because looks at it, it looked like they ran all gold. So all the receivers were behind me.
Yeah, we're behind you.
You know what I mean? So I got the ball, got a little full head of steam. And people thought I lost my legs. Here's the thing. I did not lose my legs. I was so excited because I saw like a two-way go, right? Mm-hmm. And if you go back and watch the tape in slow motion, my eyes was looking this way, but my legs still wanted to go right. I'm telling you, man, it was the craziest thing ever. So my leg kind of buckled a little bit because it really wasn't caught up with my body yet.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I stumbled.
I thought you were running out your form. You know how that, how that look when you're running out your form.
Yeah, so if you go back and look at it, I'm looking this way, but it's almost like my body wanted to continue to go to the right.
Yeah.
So like I said, I think it was my right leg that kind of like buckled a little bit, didn't get like the full power in the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what caused me to stumble a little bit, but I regained my balance. I said, PP, get it together and let's get to the paint.
You got to the end zone. And I can tell you this, what, Pat Pete, boy, you look like you still got some wheels out there, huh?
Hey, man, they said I was washed up.
Yeah, that boy looked like he was moving. I said, I said, get your form. We got to straighten back up.
That was just a little light, 28.8. I mean, it was 20.8 miles per hour, just 20.5.
Oh, you hit those with the light. Okay, light.
Easy and I run, did, easy and run. I did hit 21 miles per hour this year at 30. Yeah.
Man. Hey man, it felt good seeing you get that pick. Hey, it felt good seeing you get that pick. It felt good getting back in the end zone, because you know, at one point in time, especially when you was a returner, you stayed in the paint.
Yeah,
you stayed in the paint. So being able to get in the paint in Minnesota for the home crowd, I know they went crazy because y'all fans are definitely wild, especially when things are going good for the Vikings. Take us through the meaning behind your celebration, though.
Oh man, it's crazy because me and Harrison, we was talking about this on Friday. I think I was like, "Bro, I can't." Same thing. I was like, "Dog, I can't end the year without a pick." So we was talking about celebrations all week. So I was like, "Man, you know what?" I said, "It's the last game. You know what? If I get a pick, I said, don't let me score with it. Cause I said, if I score with it, and if you look at it, you see Harrison coming up to me, but at the end, they kind of cut it off." So what I wanted to do was have Harrison come to me, give me, you know, how you acting like you signing like a new contract or whatever. And they give you like the helmet and you shake like the owner's hands or whatever.
So that's
kind of what I did with Harrison. He kind of gave me the contract as his hand.
Yeah.
And I signed it with my left. And that's why he was handing me the ball. And I was kind of getting ready to take a picture with him.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, see, I thought he was just bringing you the ball that you can score with so you can have it.
No. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. That's dope. That's dope.
So after the game, he was like, bro, you called your shot. I said, yep.
And what about going to midfield? What made you want to go to midfield?
Because, you know, like I said, it was the last game. It was my, my last opportunity to give the fans, you know, what they've been wanting all year. And it was just like, all right, boom, here you go. You finally got it. The last game, the nail in the coffin, you know, sealed the win for the team. Pat P still here.
No question. So check this out, Pat P. We went all year without getting you fined. But we don't want to start the process now. But man, what's the thought process? What's your thought process when they call that alleged pass interference, that type of pass interference? And I know you
I thought that was, to me, because pass interference and holding is two different things. I thought it was, you know, tit for tat, but I did grab him a little bit, but it was not intentional. You know, he was running, his arms was wide, he broke down. So, you know, as every DB break down, they're going to use their arms. So as I see the ball coming, I'm breaking down, kind of brace myself. And kind of like my arm, my finger, my gloves, because we know we got that, you know, that leather on the inside, got caught in his sleeve. It got caught just like this here, and it kind of pulled his arm back a little bit or whatever. But I thought it was holding more than I thought it should have been a holding call than a PI, because PI holds.
Exactly. Or illegal contact.
Thank you. Yep. But I definitely didn't see it as a PI for sure.
Yeah, it should have been holding or illegal contact. Man, yeah. Justin Jefferson, man, fell went 17. Off. Go ahead.
I said he went off.
He went off, but he fell 17 yards short of Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Single season receiving yards record. Man, is that something you guys, as his teammates, wanted to see him achieve?
Yeah, we wanted to see him achieve that. You know what I mean?
That's 17 yards.
That's a monumental goal. You know what I mean? That's iconic. That's Randy Moss. Dandy.
Yes.
You got Moss. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I know it was tough. I know for me as a player, it was tough, you know, to see him not being able to get that goal, especially, you know, I know Kurt had to go through his reads, But being wide open on the could have been so much better on the KJ touchdown with yeah. JJ being wide open to get the 17 yards and a touchdown.
And that would have been huge. Yeah, he did get a touchdown in that ball game, man. Justin Jefferson is on the way to stardom as a wide receiver. And just year two, he is number one in the NFL, the history of the game when it comes to yards, most yards in two seasons. 3,016. Odell Beckham Jr. is number two. Randy is three. Bill Grohman is four. The great Jerry Rice is five. Man. The future is definitely bright for Justin Jefferson. But, man, we needed them 17 yards. That's all we needed. Yeah. That's all we needed. Man, Pat P., like I said, it was an entertaining ball game. But what else stood out to you in the final game?
Just the energy guys still played with, you know, the desire to fight. Because, you know, Matt, you know, you've been in this league a long time. You know, once teams find out that they're not making it to the playoff, they start packing it up, you know.
No question. Yes. Yes.
Planifications.
Yep. Yeah,
that's what I told you I like about this group of men, you know, even all week, you know, no matter what, you know, the circumstances were, guys was like, bro, we're still playing this game for us. We're still playing mm-hmm. this game for the names on the back of our jersey. You still got 31 other teams that's going to be watching this tape. You know, half of the team's going to be free agents next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you want to still make sure that you represent yourself in the right way. And, you know, being around a group of men like that, it makes your job easier to go out there and play hard for them. You know, obviously, ultimately, you want to play hard for yourself, but, you know, you felt like you owed it to your brothers to go out there and put your best foot forward, to, you know, to end the year off with a bang and also mm-hmm. bring in the new year with a bang. So it was fun all week. Practice was fun, high energy, high intensity. And ultimately, we got the win. But I want to go back to this, Mac.
What you got?
Who scored before halftime in our game?
Who scored before halftime?
Yep.
It wasn't Justin Jefferson.
No. I'm saying which team scored before halftime?
Y'all did, right?
And it was 14-0, right?
Yeah.
It made it 14-3. We came back out, made it 14-10.
Yeah.
And who ultimately ended up winning that ball game?
Y'all did.
So going back to my stats on uh-huh. teams who score before halftime, no matter what the score is, bro,
yeah,
they end up winning a ball game.
Oh, that touchdown before halftime is
no, you got a field goal.
Just points in general.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anytime.
Did you guys – go ahead. No, you got
anytime any team score before halftime, I don't care if it's three, a safety, a touchdown – they got a 73% chance of winning the ball game.
And check this out. Did y'all get the ball after halftime?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. We doubled dip.
Yeah, double dip.
We came out and got seven right away, made it 14-10, and then defense got to stop. Then I think we end up, I can't remember how end up the sequence after that ended up falling, but
yeah,
we end up ultimately winning the game.
Okay, I hear you, Coach Pat. Pat Pete, first time ever in NFL history, you had 17 games, 18 weeks. Did you feel any different, you know, knowing that you had an extra week? How did it feel to you?
Man, it felt great, bro. Like, it felt like people might, you know, like Cam, you know, he think I'd be joking all the time, but,
yeah,
you know, he always asked me, like, how do I feel? Man, going into year 11, well, being in year 11 last year, I literally felt like my body felt like I was in like year five, year six. Really no real bruises. Got the one injury this year, my first injury in my career with the, you know, torn hamstring. But I felt like I recovered from that, you know, very, very well.
Didn't have no you looked like you did.
Yeah, didn't have no apprehensions, you know, after coming back and, you know, had the COVID, you know, which was weird. So it was just a weird year for me, but for, you know, overall, you know, I thought, you know, everything, you know, played out for the best for me.
Yeah. And when the season ends for some organizations that didn't reach the level of expectations, there will be change. And with the Minnesota Vikings, new news happened Monday. Mike Zimmer and GM Rick Spielman fired. Zimmer went 72-56-1 in eight seasons. As Vikings coach, made playoffs three out of the eight seasons. Defense has been bottom five over the past 2 years. You guys were number one in sacks this year. Spielman has been with the team since 2006 and GM since 2012. Were they a big, those two individuals, Spielman and Zimmer, Were they a big reason to why you signed with Minnesota?
Oh yeah, that was definitely one of them for sure. You know, yeah. Obviously always watching the team from afar, having a couple teammates that, you know, came through here, having a couple friends that played with this organization, always hearing so many great things about it, mm-hmm. and just the players that they always were able to have, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, that's just something I wanted to be a part of it. And I think Zim was just, you know, a guy that just put the icing on the cake, you know, just having the resume that he has, coaching some of the guys that he was able to coach. And I just wanted to be a part of it. And when I got here, I was like, yeah, this is, you know, I was not disappointed as far as the facility, the ownership, you know, the training room, locker room. The
facility's nice.
Yeah, this is the real deal right here. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the environment, the culture, the fan base, you know, just like I said, everything was awesome for me. But, you know, ultimately, you know, if you're not, you know, this league is always about what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? And ultimately, you know, not being able to get the job done over the last two seasons, you know, apparently hurt Coach Zimmer with him not having a job with the Minnesota mm-hmm. Vikings no more. But I would tell you this, man, Coach was an awesome person, awesome coach, did a great job of giving guys that desire to continue to fight no matter what. And mm-hmm. you know, like I said, it's hard to get, especially when you things are going south, it's hard to get guys to kind of stay with it.
Yeah.
You know, he had he found a way to keep guys staying with it. And no matter what the circumstances are, you know, we're going out there for battle, you know. Yeah. So that's what I admire about Coach. We was tough. You know, we was physical. We just didn't make the plays down the stretch that would have, you know, helped us win those close ball games that we lost throughout the year.
Do you think Coach Zimmer will coach again, maybe as a head coach, maybe as a coordinator?
You know, as a head coach, I think he should have another opportunity. But, you know, with the league, man, they going young everywhere, man, with coaches. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, do I think he'll get another job? Yes. Will it be hard for him to get another job? You know, it's hard to say there too. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, so many coaches, I mean, so many organizations want to go younger. And especially now, they want to have these offensive-minded guys because they want to be able to develop quarterbacks and things like this. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where he end up falling, yeah. You know, at the end of. But I will say this, if he's not a head coach, he'll be a DC for sure.
Oh, no question. If he wants to be. Yeah, yeah, and he has so many relationships throughout the NFL. Like you said, it might be a little difficult. He's 65 now to really maybe get a head coaching opportunity, but definitely defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I think that could be easy for him if he wants to continue to coach and coach regarding defense only. So we have to wait and see. Well, now Pat P, if you get ahead, it's looking like you're going to have a new head coach if you stay with the Minnesota Vikings. This will be your sixth head coach playing for you. You've played with six head coaches.
That's half your, my season, man. I mean, half of my career.
I know, right? Think about that. You know, if you haven't
had head coach this year. Huh? You only had, well, you had three.
I had three. I had Wiz one year, Arizona, Cower,
and Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and Cower retired, so. Yeah, man. So how do you process that? Like, you know, your outstanding Hall of Fame-like career, but about to have six head coaches.
Man, you know what? You know, it's kind of – I won't say it's weird, but, you know, I also won't say I'm grown accustomed to it now. But,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's kind of like I'm – in a weird spot. I don't know how to, you know, how to take that. You know what I mean? I've been six head coaches throughout my, and only played for two teams. So,
hey, you only played for two teams. You only played for two teams. You hit about to have six. And get this though. Get this. What? BA was your longest tenure coach. For 4 years.
Yeah.
You played with BA for 4 years.
Yeah. Played with BA since 2013. He left us in 17. Yeah.
Wow.
And the shortest was
five seasons. Yeah, no, you played with BA. Yeah, five seasons.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 seasons. And you said the shortest was 6 months. Who you had for 6 months?
Steve Wilkes, man. He did my man wrong, man. I gave my man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, we got to see exactly what happens next. Who will be added to the list of head coaches for the Minnesota Vikings? Is there anybody in mind you would like to see the Minnesota Vikings try to sign as the head coach?
Oh, man. I would love to see Lefty get a good coaching opportunity. Byron,
yep.
You know, if they want to go defense again, I would love to see Coach Bowles. Mm-hmm. You know, with the history of Minnesota, they always tend to, you know, pick defensive-minded coaches. And if they want to go that route, I think Bowles would be a great pick. You know, just not only what he was able to do over the last, you know, two seasons, but his resume as far as his defense in general, you know, always it speaks very high. And I had the opportunity to play with both of those coaches. So mm-hmm. I know what they bring to the table. I know they got Doug Pearson on the lookout. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a good head coach as well.
What about maybe a guy like Brian Flores?
I think
you don't know too much about him, but
yeah, I don't know too much about him, but I know of him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I really can't speak too much about Brian.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to hear the firing of B Flow in Miami?
I was, especially looking at what he was able to do, you know, with what he had over the last, especially like Herm always said, it's hard to win when you don't have a quarterback. Not saying that they didn't have a quarterback. They did not have a consistent quarterback under center. Mm-hmm. You had Tua. You had who else they had out there? They had like two quarterbacks, right?
Jacoby Brissett when Tua was hurt.
They had Jacoby, you know, Tua in and out of the lineup. But their defense, which he's a defensive head coach, kept them alive.
Yeah.
Their defense played strong, you know, over the last – that's been the strongest suit of their team over the last two seasons. And that's what you hired him for, to, you know, revamp your defense, get your defense, you know, on the map. And I believe mm-hmm. that's what he did. And he just didn't have a consistent enough play at quarterback. But I believe that's all he needed, was just consistent enough play at quarterback to be able to keep his teams in the game. We knew his defense was going to play outstanding throughout the season. We just needed the offense to not turn the ball over. You know, sustain drives, you know, throughout the game here and there. You know, just do your part. And I feel like they wasn't able to, you know, come through for him, especially early on in the year.
Yeah.
For him as a team. But they started to get together at the back half of the year. Something like how they did in 2001 as well. You know, so it shows that the team gets better throughout the year, and it shows that the team wants to play for this head coach. So when I saw the firing, I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Then he got like the best over the last two seasons. I think he lost 14 games, and he got better records than like Bill, Cliff Kingsbury. I think it was, I think Kyle was on there. It was like six head coaches on there, and he had a better record than all those guys, and all those guys still have their jobs.
Yeah, he had a heck of a second half of the season. I think they finished the second half of the season 8-1. Outside of that, you know, slow start, went in one ball game in the first month, 2 months of the season. They finished on a bright note. You talked about the defense. They finished sixth last year. They were 16th this year. It seemed like he was kind of changing the culture, but what we're hearing now is, I think it was more of a power struggle between B Flow and Chris Greer, the GM. Brian Flores wanted a lot of power. I guess they kind of was having back and forths and things like that. People just wasn't on the same page. But I said, when we had Stu Gotts on this show, Stu Gotts from the Libertard show, some months ago, I said to him that don't be surprised if they fire Brian Flores. And I just felt like it potentially would happen. And my thing is this, Pat P, when you fire a guy like B Flo, who seems to be changing the culture there and trying to create more of a consistent pattern, you have to have something huge in place or something bigger in place. And I understand when it comes to that power tip, you know, we've seen that before with some coaches. Remember, Harbaugh pretty much left San Fran because that same type of issue from what we've heard with power, mm-hmm. right? But I'm going to tell you this much right now. I'm going to give you right now something to think about and something to look forward to in the next few weeks. And I know you were a Dolphin fan growing up, kid in South Florida. You love the Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins. Man, you remember that song?
Yeah, man.
They don't do that no more. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins song. Hey, don't be surprised if the Dolphins pull the unthinkable when it comes to
what's the unthinkable?
Landing someone who you don't, who you would never think of as an option. Like, you know, you got usual suspects right now from the next up and coming coach. You know what I mean? You got, like you talked about D-Left. You know, you got so many different names out there that people are associating with jobs. Heck, even Bill O'Brien name has been thrown out there with potential interviews and stuff like that. No, I ain't.
Telling more. I think they're going to get more. I think they're going to get more from
Kellen.
Kellen Moore from Dallas.
Hey, listen here. Clip this, producer Eric. Clip this and save this. Don't be surprised if the Miami Dolphins do something where you like, you're going to have that Kevin face from Home Alone.
They about to pull like a Oakland Raider thing. They're going to get one of the youngest coaches in the league, and it's going to be Kellen Moore. Watch. I'm telling you.
Hey, for all our listeners and our viewers checking us out right now, just remember this episode, the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross has a plan.
He see what he did with Dallas. They still got a young quarterback. They got talent over there.
Yep.
Keeping strong. He going to get more.
I think, and I still believe, I know he said he would not want to be the one to remove Harbaugh from his alma mater, but I think he would be the second option. I think ultimately, you know, and I heard this too, Pat, I heard Michigan's willing to offer Harbaugh like 120. that college coach. 120. And that's guaranteed.
Hey, no doubt about it. And somebody can buy him out
if they want to. If they don't, okay, he trippy, get 120. But hey, clip this and save this. Look out for what's probably going to happen in Miami, what potentially could happen in Miami the next few weeks with their head coaching vacancy. Now that they fired Brian Flores, Dolphin fans, I'm trying to tell you, your owner trying to make something big happen, like the unthinkable, meaning I got to go pull a hellified move. And Pat P. Remember where you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Hey, season in review. Man, a lot happened this year. An emotional roller coaster type of season. But let's start with our guy number 7. You know, how would you evaluate your individual 2021 season as a whole?
Man, I thought I played solid, man. I know I didn't have many opportunities throughout the year. You know, I thought my technique was sound. I felt like I tackled better. Didn't give up many yards after the catch. I felt like I broke on like my off routes better than I ever had throughout my career. It was so many breaks this year. Like I broke so clear. I was like, man, why did the quarterback not throw the ball? You know,
that always happened that way.
You have those clean breaks like, I feel it. Throw it.
Or if he throws it, someone tips the ball or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I felt like I had a very, very sound year. I felt like I got better as a leader, you know, this year. Not necessarily understanding my role, but just being able to be more, I guess, more of a mentor in a sense, you know, by, you know, trying to help these young guys each and every day on how to be pros, you know, how to study, how to practice. You know, how to put your mind in the right position, you know, to where you can be successful throughout the game. You know, so that was pretty cool as well. We had a great experience with my coach.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, I thought I played solid, man. I thought I really, really did, you know, like I said, with the opportunities that I was given.
Yeah. I mean, for me watching you, man, you play with a lot of energy. You played fast. You know, you play with good leverage. You play with good knee bend, which is important. You know what I mean? And yes, you tackle better this year. I love seeing you stick your face in there like how you used to do, mixing it up, you know, coming up in support and being a leader by action.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Being a leader by action and the way you look real good. You didn't look like a guy who, and 31 is not old. We know that. 31 is young, but it seems like sometimes when you play in this league for such a long time at a high level, they want to, when you hit a certain number, oh, well, he's declining. Well, why is someone considered to be declining when they haven't showed you signs of declining? It's just the age. But I think you use that as a chip on your shoulder as well to let people know, man, like, listen, I'm 31, but I feel like I'm in my 20s. And that interception return basically showed that, because you showed that I'm still running. I ain't just out here. I'm still running. So, yeah, I think all in all, and I can tell you this much, too, the Viking fans definitely No, you still got a lot of sauce left. You know, on Twitter, they were going crazy when you got the interception. When you weren't playing in ball games, people really saw how much you meant to the organization.
Mm.
That's the thing. You know, when you're an impactful player, sometimes it takes you not being in the lineup to show how much you mean. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people saw that as well, along with everything else you brought to the table. So yes, all in all, real good year, first year in Minnesota. Let's see exactly what the future holds. For your quarterback, Captain Kirk mm-hmm. Cousins, do you believe he will be back in Minnesota next year?
You know, I don't know, Mac, you know, especially now with, you know, everything going on with the new GM, new coach. And typically, you know, when things like that happen, you know, it's kind of like they get like a bulldozer and like just start crashing through everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like a clean house. So I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I can't say. You know, I would love to see, Kirk finish it up here. You know, I think he has a great rapport with Adam, with Justin, getting better with Justin.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Each and every week, you know, have an opportunity to, you know, be, you know, the fastest receiver in two years with that many yards. And, you know, obviously mm-hmm. – so Kirk was a big part of that. And I just think Kirk is just a very, you know, great leader, poised player, never really under duress, you know, in games. You know, I just think he's just very, very chill. And, you know, he's Captain Kirk for sure. So to answer that question, I don't know if he'll be here, but I would love to see him, you know, continue that connection with, you know, Justin, Adam, and, you know, the one that we wasn't able to see this year, Irv Smith. Yeah. Who was having an unbelievable camp.
You remember I was high on him and getting ready for the off season.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right. Now it's time for free agency look ahead. My guy, Pat P, number 7, will be a free agent this season. How will you handle free agency again this year, Pat?
Oh, man. Just like I did last year. I'm going on vacation somewhere. I'm going to let my agent, you know, handle, do whatever he needs to do. You know, ultimately, you know, everything is out of my hands now, you know, far as, you know, putting the work in.
I have one request.
What?
Right now.
What?
Can we please break your sign? And if you sign back with Minnesota, if you sign elsewhere here, because you was on vacation, you had a lot going on and we missed it. And somebody, who broke it? Was it Schefter or somebody like that? No. Hey, it's mandatory. It's a written rule. It's not an unwritten rule. It's a written rule.
I think, you know, I was in the Bahamas. My connection was bad and stuff like that, man. So my internet was all over the place.
You know, we got Eric. He's one of the best producers, technician in the land. So he can make something put together good for us. We can go and get some.
Matter of fact, I will make sure I'm up on it because I will be in the Bahamas again this year doing free agency. So I'll make sure I'm all set this year, Matt.
But also, too, you know, once they get a head coach in place in GM, they don't necessarily they don't got to wait till free agency. And I was going to ask you this question. Do you want to remain a Viking?
Man, I wouldn't mind. You know, I wouldn't mind. You know, like I said, and ultimately it's going to come down to, like I said, you know, getting a new head coach. For the most part, new head coaches come in and kind of tear up the whole scene. But my thing is, why would you want to tear up this team? It's now probably it's probably the most talented team that has a coaching vacancy.
Oh, let's break it down. Let's break it down. So who all? Okay, Jacksonville.
Exactly.
Miami got some talent, but you know, quarterback wise, I still take Kirk Cousins over.
You got Chicago.
Yeah.
It just really got the quarterback and the receiver and the running back. Defenses. Oh, they got a couple players on defense.
They got a couple of pieces. The Raiders will.
Well, we don't know if they're gonna
retain, but that's a possibility. The Giants.
Yeah, they
ain't really got no pieces like that.
Denver.
Denver got some pieces as well, but quarterback as well.
If you're looking to come into a spot and not worry about the quarterback position, we know you need a quarterback if you want to win. He's a better option out of all of those quarterbacks.
And not it's not just about the quarterback. You got a proven running back, all pro-like player, wide receiver, a Pro Bowl player in Adam. You hopefully can get Irv Smith back, a highly invested player. And the offensive line should be better, especially if they're healthy. The continuity should be there.
AJ.
Defensively, you got still an elite pass rusher with Daniil Hunter. Get him back healthy. Look at the interior for the defensive line, the linebackers.
Eric. I think Barber's a free agent. He's Barber free agent now.
Yeah, man.
You got DJ Wadham playing big and he's going to.
He had two sacks against Chicago.
Five total.
And you got the 12th pick in this draft in the first round. So they're definitely pieces. You have the resources. It should be attractive. And not to mention the fan base.
Man. You know,
the tradition. Ooh. The tradition there in Minnesota is huge. The fan, the way they support the show for us right now, it tells me how much they love Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings. So, it definitely is a very, very attractive opportunity for a head coach. And I don't think you guys will have an issue getting a head coach. And whoever the head coach is, whoever the GM is, Pat P said he wouldn't mind returning, rocking at number 7. And do you still want to play four to five more years, Pat?
No doubt about it. I just told you, Mac, my body felt like I was 26, 27 this year, man. It felt awesome. So when my body let me down, when my body says time to hang it up.
That's when you hang it up.
And another thing, too, when I always told my, I tell my wife this all the time, whenever I don't have the desire to work out anymore, because that's something I love to do. Like, I love the offseason. I love the grind. I love putting in that work to try to get that finishing product at the end of the season. But when I lose the desire,
you know what time
not work out,
mm-hmm.
it's time to hang up the cleats.
No question.
And you know me, like, I'm a practice guy.
No question.
Like I believe in practicing.
Yeah.
If I lose that fight, it's time to go.
It's time lose that fight, like, man, we got to practice a day?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm getting tired of this, but you like,
right.
Oh. All right. I see the signs.
Exactly.
I see the signs. Hey, but right now, my guy loves practicing. He loves working out. He loves going out there grinding. So he still wants to play. So Minnesota, stand up. All you Viking fans who want Pat P back, let's go ahead and get that thing rolling right now on social media.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Now, Pat P, it's time for Around the League. And we're going to do something different this week. Me and my guy, Pat, man, we are big time fans of watching football. And because the season is over for Pat P, he has an opportunity to sit in front of his television with the TV on mute because he don't watch football, listening to the announcers and watch playoff football. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick the playoff matchups for this weekend slate of ball games, starting with the Saturday matchups leading into Sunday. I will talk some gambling numbers as well. Only me, because I will put together a nice parlay for you guys. But Pat will just pick his games straight up, just picking games straight up. Me personally, I'm going to give you my picks with a little gambling tied to it. So the first matchup, Pat P, we have the Raiders, who had an emotional Sunday night game just to get into the playoffs against the Chargers.
I want to talk about that game later.
You want to talk about that game too? Hold on, we can talk. Let's talk about that game. For you guys who are not familiar with the implications tied to that ball game, the Chargers played the Raiders in Las Vegas. The winner of that ball game will go to the playoffs for sure. If the game ended in a tie, which I was praying didn't happen, both teams would go to the playoffs. The Steelers wouldn't make it. Now, that game went to overtime. And in that overtime period, both teams had got the football. No one scored. The Raiders got the football back. They were driving. Brandon Staley, who is a coach who annoys me so much.
Man.
This man played. He coached the game like he plays.
Man, mad, man.
The man went for it in the third quarter, only down 3, 17-14 in the beginning of the third quarter, backed up inside his 20 on 4th and 2 and went for it. And didn't get it.
Pat, we was talking this whole game, man.
We were talking.
Like, I know that he's aggressive, but bro, you've got everything on the line in this one game. Like,
you went for
it. Put your pride aside.
No, let me ask you this question, Pappy, because I know they would never say anything, but defensive players on that team.
Oh my God, they hot. Especially when the Raiders was giving you your invitation to the playoffs. Yeah. They'll say, we're going to run the ball. Here you go. We both going to the playoffs. Let's get the heck out of Vegas.
Oh, and he called timeout.
He want to use his timeouts. He used both of them. Both of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, coach, what are you doing? You don't have an opportunity to get the ball back to even, you know, you ain't going to have no timeouts. If you get the ball back, you're going to have 10 seconds on the clock at least. What are you doing?
He called timeout, yo.
He used both of them. So now the Raiders coach is like, damn, I'm trying to get both of us to the playoffs.
Yes.
What you doing? Now he run the ball again. Still, that was just like a give up run. They end up blowing it, gaining 16 yards, now they're in field goal position. So now they're in field goal position. Your coach like, I can't kneel it now. I might as well go ahead and win it.
Yeah, because if I miss it, we still in. It don't matter.
But I'm like, bro.
Let me go ahead and knock y'all out.
Or you see what's going on, the clock's winding. They taking the play clock down to 2 seconds every time. And he called time. I'm like, oh my God. I said they're gonna lose the ball game now. And all the Chargers players like, what are we doing? And it couldn't have been like he didn't know what was going on, because the special team coach is in his head, or somebody's in his ear telling him the whole scenario, what's going on. But just being too aggressive cost them. Like, at times, I know you want to be aggressive.
But it's a time and a place
for all of that, man.
Man, some things are just dumb. It don't make sense. You're backed up. Like, you, and at that time, it wasn't like the Raiders were easily driving the length of the football field to put points on the scoreboard.
Right.
They were having issues a little bit. Mm-hmm. Make them drive the length of the field. Don't give them that type of field position.
Matt, what I said, and not saying that Brandon's going to get fired. I said, this is why coaches get fired right here. For decisions like this, like, it's like everything was made for you. Owner coming downstairs, ready to go. Like that. Now he embarrassed. You know, they don't like coming downstairs and they end up losing. You know, they only come down when they win it.
They got a shot. Yeah, they had, right.
He came down. It's like 2 minutes ago. He's like, all right. He must have had to talk with Mark or something. He's like, man, they gonna nail it. You know, we both going to the playoffs. Nuh-uh.
Yeah. They said, no, I'm gonna use these timeouts for what? I don't know what he was trying to do, but yeah. But because of that debacle, the Raiders in the playoffs playing against the hot Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. Bengals. You taking Cincy?
Yeah, I'm taking all right,
Cincy. So Pat P takes Cincy. So in this line, listeners and viewers, the spread is 5.5, right? So Pat gets Cincy. I'm going to take one regarding betting. B-Mac is taking Cincy as well, and here's why. The first meeting, remember, they played early in the year in Vegas, and Cincinnati won 32-13. Joe Mixon had a huge day, 30 carries for 123, two touchdowns. They couldn't stop him. He didn't get a lot from Joe Burrow, but you didn't. Cincinnati's defense had a lot of success against Derek Carr in the Raiders offense. Now, both quarterbacks have been playing fairly well, but Joe Burrow has been hot. His last two games versus Kansas City and Baltimore, he threw for 525 against Baltimore, 446, a total of 8 touchdowns. I love Cincinnati because the home playoff atmosphere, Pat P, you know about this. When you play at home, especially in round one, it does something to you as a player, especially for Cincinnati, who they haven't had a home playoff game in a long, long time, in quite some time. You know they're going to be energized, and they play good football at home. And I love the trio of wide receivers. Yeah. I think they have arguably the best trio of wide receivers in the playoffs. And that's saying a lot. Ja'Marr Chase, who went for over 1,000. T. Higgins, who went for over 1,000. And the experienced, savvy route runner, Tyler Boyd. And the chemistry they have with Joe Burrow has been well documented. So one, I got two betting nuggets for you guys that are joining me when it comes to betting. When you look at this matchup between these two teams, the Raiders are 0-5 ATS. ATS means against the spread in their last five meetings with Cincinnati. So the last five times they've played Cincinnati, the Raiders have not covered. Last betting nugget I got for you, the favorite in this matchup is 4-1 ATS in their last five meetings. Remember, ATS means against the spread. So the favorite has won they're 4-1 ATS in the last five meetings. Cincinnati is the favorite. I'm taking Cincinnati. All right. Next up, we got the Pats traveling to Buffalo. Who you got in that matchup, Pat P?
Man, that's going to be a tough one to pick.
It's supposed to be really cold too. It's not going to be as windy as the first meeting in Buffalo, but they will have a little wind, but it's supposed to be really cold.
I'm going to go Bills Mafia.
You're going to go Bills Mafia. Okay, you're taking Josh Allen. So Pat P's taking Josh Allen. In this particular matchup, the spread is 4, but the over-under is 43 and a hook. I'm taking the under. The reason why I'm taking the under, the Patriots on the road playing against a team with a winning record, the young quarterback struggles a little bit. They've only averaged 18 points in the last three road games versus a team with a winning record. Defensively, the Buffalo Bills can harass you a little bit, especially a young quarterback. And also, when you look at this matchup between these two teams, the under is 4-1 in the last five meetings in Buffalo, and the under is 5-2 in the Bills' last seven games as a home favorite. So that tells me when these two teams play in Buffalo, the under hits more than none. And when Buffalo is playing at home as a favorite, their defense plays good football. They don't allow a lot of points. And don't forget, Josh Allen is playing against a real good defense, a defensive team in the Patriots. So I think points are going to come at a premium. I'm taking the under in that matchup. Next up, Pat P. This is a good one right here. We got Tampa hosting the Eagles.
Yeah.
Who are you liking that one? Straight up.
I know
Tampa dealing with injuries and
yeah, that's what I was about to say.
It sound like you thinking about it.
I am, because I'm gonna pick an underdog in one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to be now.
Oh, wait a minute! You calling for the upset outright?
Yeah.
You calling for the Eagles.
I know everybody gonna come at me on the show, this, that, and the other, but Philly is hot right now. Woo. Man, Jalen Hurts is playing unbelievable football. I think he's playing at the level that he's played at, you know, far as before he got benched the first time at Alabama. I just thought that I think he's playing with a ton of confidence. I think the defense is playing much better.
It is. Yes, they are. They are
much better. And I just think, you know, it's been a lot of, I just think with the young quarterback, with his mobility, I think he's going to cause trouble for the secondary of Tampa by him being able to move around a little bit and make those guys have to cover a little bit longer. And so I'm going with Philadelphia with the upset.
And like I said, Pat is not talking any numbers. He's picking just outright to win. Pat is saying the upset will happen in Tampa. Second-year quarterback going against the GOAT in Tom Brady. Jalen Hurts with the win. And think about this. The Philadelphia Eagles, they have the number one rushing offense in the National Football League. Now, they're playing against a stout team defensively against the run. I don't know the status of Miles Sanders. I don't know if he'll be ready to go, but if he can go, that would be a plus. Okay, so Pat P is taking the Eagles upset, right? You heard it here first, all things covered. Now, the Eagles are getting 8.5. That's the spread in that ball game. Remember also, these two teams played early in the year. Tampa won 28-22, a pedestrian-like ball game for Jalen Hurts, he only had 115 yards passing. Now, at that time, Philly wasn't the rushing team that they are now. They were struggling. I think that's the game that kind of initiated running the football. Yeah, because they were.
As a quarterback, you need a good balance.
They got booed and everything. And they only lost by 6. I like Philly getting 8.5 in this matchup. So I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles. I do believe Jalen Hurts, like you said, they're playing real good football. He will open up some things throwing. Also, running the football, they got to find a way to do that. And I think their defense is going to have some success against Tom Brady. So I'm taking Eagles getting 8.5. The next matchup, this is a big-time traditional matchup. 49ers at the Cowboys.
Yeah.
49ers at the Cowboys. Pat P, where you going?
I'm going Cowboys. I think it's going to be a tough 49ers are playing some really, really good football.
Yes.
Watching the play. Against the Rams, I think it was the Rams, right? The last game of the season.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, we talked about that game too.
Yeah, that was a really, really entertaining game. Came down to the wire. They came back. I think it was down 17-3.
They were down 17-0 at one time.
Yeah, but matter of fact, I think they scored before halftime too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think they got the 3 points before halftime.
I think you're right. I think they put points on the scoreboard before halftime.
And they won the game.
Yep.
How ironic, Matt. But that just goes down to the situation of football, to get off the game, how important it is. And that's why Tom Brady is always going to be good, because he scored before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Belichick is the same way. Pittsburgh, Steelers, the Chiefs, all those good situations, the Rams, all those good situational football teams, they're going to be in the playoffs every single year because they're doing what you're supposed to do. It might seem so little and, you know, unnoticed, but I'm telling you, points before halftime goes such a long way.
No question.
But back to the game, I'm going Cowboys. We're on the Cowboys game, right?
Yeah, Cowboys, San Francisco.
I'm going Cowboys to win, but like I said earlier, San Fran is playing some unbelievable football, running the ball extremely well. But I think it's going to come to a halt here. Here in the first round of the playoffs, I think Cowboys going to be very, very stout. I think Dan Quinn and his defense going to come to play and put up a stellar performance.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys laying 3 points, and here's why. Playing at home, that should be huge for Dallas, and they play much inspired football at home. Yeah. And the 49ers, it seems like they have issues when they're playing against the Cowboys in regards to covering. 49ers are 1-4-1 ATS in the last 6 meetings versus the Cowboys. They're 1-3-1 ATS in the last 5 meetings in Dallas. That tells me when they play the Cowboys, especially in Dallas, they don't cover. When it comes to betting, you got to follow the trend. So in that matchup, the trend is 49ers don't cover playing Dallas or playing in Dallas. So give me the Cowboys. Next up, you got the Steelers. This is another rematch. Steelers traveling to Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to go. This is going to be a close game. I think Steelers going to make it competitive, but I got to go with my homeboy.
Yeah. I mean, you remember the first meeting, man. It was at one point, it was down. It was 30-0.
Yeah.
It was 30-0. In this matchup, I'm taking the side. I'm taking the total. The total is 46.5. I'm going to take the under in this matchup solely because, you know, Pittsburgh, let's keep it real. That offense hasn't really been explosive. The last four games, the offense is averaging 17 points. Kansas City's defense is probably going to be expired, play good football, especially at home. And the Steelers having T.J. Watt back healthy, Joe Hayden should limit some things to a degree for Pat Mahomes. I don't expect for them to allow the easy 30 points like they did the first meeting. So take the under. I'm taking the under. And oh, get this. Between these two teams, the last five meetings in Kansas City, the under is 4-1. So I'm going to under. Last game, Monday night. Oh, we got Monday night football, and it's a playoff game.
That's going to be awesome.
How you feel about that, Pat P? Like, if you were playing a Monday night playoff game, how would you be concerned about the short week, quick turnaround, or are you just ready to go?
That's interesting, Matt. That's interesting. I think if they do that, if they give a team the Monday night game, they have to be automatically eligible for that Sunday night game the following.
Hands down. Yeah, that I think the winner of that Monday night game will be playing late Sunday.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Where you going? Two teams you're familiar with. Cardinals at the Rams.
They say J.J. Watt coming back, right?
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly. If he comes back, I think that'll help the defensive line to get some pressure on Matthew. If he comes back, I'm taking the Cardinals. If he don't come back, I'm taking the Rams. Because when J.J. played in that, I think he played in the first game, right?
I think so.
When he played in the first game, they wasn't, you know, I had opportunity to watch because we played the Rams. So
yep.
It was a little bit more zone heavy, you know, not less, you know, wasn't pressuring the quarterback as much. So it gave him an opportunity to play with the guys up front to get after the quarterback. And then in the second game, mm-hmm. they had to do a lot more zone pressures. They had to blitz a little bit more. And that kind of forced, you know, it played into the Rams' hands because all the Rams do is a lot of condensed formations.
Yep.
They want to run crossers. They run in post overs. And they like to do Jefferson when they know you're in man-to-man, kind of force the DB out and try to run the post is what they did on Robert. You know, so if JJ's back, I think that gives Vance the liberty to play a little bit more zone eyes and let the guys up front rush the quarterback a little bit. But I think if JJ's not in there, it puts more pressure on him to send pressure to the quarterback. But that also puts your secondary or guys in coverage in jeopardy because what the Rams did a good job at in the second game when they knew what Vance was going to do, they did a lot of match protection. Mm-hmm. So they wasn't getting to the quarterback when they was bringing pressure. And that's always a recipe for disaster when a team match protecting you sending pressure. Now you got guys in the back end covering for
yeah.
So if JJ's in, I'm taking the Cardinals. If JJ's not playing,
you're taking the Rams. And that was week 4. And yes, you're right. JJ Watt did play that game. The Cardinals won 37-20. So you're right. He did play in week 4. Me personally, when it comes to this game, the Rams are giving 4 points. It seems like the offense, Arizona offense, they've been a little stagnant since they lost DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray hasn't really looked the same throwing the football. Protecting wise, they have issues protecting him. The offense hasn't really been gelling and clicking like we thought they would do, especially with the early success. And defensively, they missed JJ a lot. You can tell, you know what I mean? So not knowing the status, but it's just something about these two teams. And you know about this matchup, Pat P. The favorite in the matchups when it regards to Arizona and Rams, the favorite is 8-2-1 ATS in the last 11 meetings. And Arizona is a lonely 1-8-1 ATS in the last 10 meetings. So in the last 10 matchups between the Cardinals and the Rams, the Cardinals have only covered once. Only one time they've covered the spread and had one tie. Give me the Rams. Give me Sean McVay. Give me the home team. I'm taking the home team. And before we transition, definitely want to get your quick thoughts on the national championship game. I got a nice parlay for all our bettors and gamblers that are checking us out on YouTube or listening to us Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. I got a 14 parlay, a four piece for you guys. And what I'm telling you, I've already put my ticket in. So check this out. 14 parlay. I got Buffalo laying the 4 points. I got Cincinnati laying the 5.5 to the Raiders. I have the under in Kansas City, Pittsburgh matchup. And I have Dallas laying 3. That parlay is plus 1,200. So if you want to bet $50, that brings you in around 600. If you want to bet 100, that brings you around 12. If you want to bet 200, that brings you around 2,400. So follow me now if you want to get it on. I'm doing that right now. I already got my ticket in. And you guys can thank me later. You can inbox us on social media. BMAC, thank you. But they call me the Parlay Prince. The Parlay Prince has spoken. At P, this past Monday night, everyone was tuned in watching the national championship game between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Two head coaches that we love and we respect. And we both had on the show last year. We had Kirby Smart on the show. And we had Nick Saban on the show. We should get Kirby back now that he's a national champion to get his thoughts. But what was your reaction to that outstanding, entertaining ball game?
Man, my boy Bob, Bobcat texted me before the game. He's like, man, who you think gonna win? Mm-hmm. I was like, man, don't be surprised if Georgia win it, dog. He was like, man, why you say that? I was like, man, first of all, it's hard to be a good team twice, like a good solid team twice in 1 year. And I think me and you was talking, I said, Georgia will win if the quarterback plays well. I think me and you was talking about this last week, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But he played outstanding.
He did.
And they won the ball game.
He did.
You know, so I just had a feeling that it was going to be tough. I knew Kirby is he's a great coach. He understands, you know, what you have to do to put yourself in position, you know, to try to win the game. And that's what he did. He didn't make the quarterback do anything out of the ordinary. They protected him very well. He didn't make any bonehead decisions. Defense played outstanding like they've been doing all year. And they came out on top. And that's what you need when you have a solid defense and a good team. Mm-hmm. Just a quarterback to not only keep you in the game, but not put your team in a bad position. Yeah. And, you know, that's what they was able to do Monday night. And they came out on top.
Stetson Bennett, nicknamed the mailman, delivered the mail Monday night. Yeah, former walk-on who beat Nick Saban in the national championship game. I feel like this. I think the game would have been, even if it was a close game, I understand the final score doesn't really detail how close the ball game, because remember, Georgia got that pick six, made it 33-18. But if Jameson Williams stayed in that ball game,
oh,
Pat P, he might be one of the fastest I've seen, bro.
Yes.
And you got to remember, they were already missing John Metchie, the other wide receiver, because of injury. So when you lose number one, now you're working with a bunch of freshmen. And get this, all three freshmen wide receivers were Holden, Brooks, and Hall. Brooks from South Florida, Hall from Florida, and the other one is from South Florida too. I can't remember. Holden.
All them boys played in the backyard.
All them boys played in the backyard, and Nick Saban went and got them. Wow. But it was a good game. But I think if they were healthy, it'd have been very, very tough to beat Alabama. But in all, shout out to Kirby Smart winning his first national championship as a head coach and ending a 41-year drought for UGA.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching. We'll be back Thursday where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.